to speak my truth without fear in my voice. Stop letting people tell me who I should be or what choice. I'm gentle, but I'm powerful, a storm when I rise. A woman with a vision written deep in her eyes. I celebrate my wins, big or small, every day. I treat myself with kindness in the sweetest way. I ain't let anybody dim my us. I'm wrapped in divine confidence. Hey, hey, hey. If you feel my energy, then baby, just watch. I'm on a new level, I'm taking my spot. My shine is fine and it's heaven sent. I'm drenched in pure confidence. This is confidence, baby. Walking like the world already know I'm the greatest. Head high, soft smile, and my heart so spacious. I love who I am and it feels contagious. Yeah. Baby, every step I take feels so courageous. I'm finally living life unapologetic. My glow now always magnetic. It took some tears, took some nights alone, but I built myself up from the root to the throne. Now when I look in the mirror, I see evidence of a woman reborn in confidence. This is confidence, baby. A glow so bright, ain't no way you can fake it. I'm walking in my truth and I love how I made it. It's feminine power, I embrace it, yeah. Babe, you can feel it in my presence, feel it in my essence. I'm finally living on my lessons. Confidence, that's my blessing.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, our devotional scripture this morning. Don't plan to keep you long, just want to touch on this verse. Luke 22, 19. If you have it, say amen. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak from the subject, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. Those of you who know the word know that Jesus is at this Last Supper, preparing for the Passover experience with his disciples and instituting what we now know as the Lord's Supper or communion. And it is imperative that we understand how important this is to Jesus, not only in the past, but in the present and in the future. The need not to be forgotten, Jesus exclaims, is so imperative to the believer who says that he saved them from their sins, that they must keep in mind that in order to show forth his glory, his goodness, and his grace to each one of us, we must participate and be fully cognizant of what the Lord's Supper means, what it represents, how we as believers cannot play with this sacred right of the church. How, listen, communion cannot save you. Communion or the Lord's Supper is for the saved. Matter of fact, unsaved folks should not take communion. Unsaved folks should not take the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it is meant expressly for born again believers in Christ Jesus. You say to him and to the world, it is what this bread and this wine represents in the body and blood of Jesus Christ that makes me worthy to go before the Father, worthy to be called a child of the King. It is through the works of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross for me. Now, it's important for you to realize that the Word makes clear that you cannot be saved by communion, but you can certainly be condemned by misusing the communion. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter reminds us that if we do not discern the Lord's body, if we are not cognizant of the fact that there are three things that this Lord's Supper should represent, of which Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Let's first, before I get into him, let's talk about what he's talking about. The bread. The bread was a symbol of his body. John 6:35 said, I am the bread of life. And when we partake of that bread, we are talking about the life substance found in Jesus Christ through his word and through his work and through the wonder of his person. In other words, that bread represents the life that Jesus has spoken into our ears and into our lives. That bread, just as natural bread is substantive for our bodies, it is that same spiritual bread that is substantive for our souls. It is important that we recognize Jesus as the substance of our lives. The wine represents his shed blood, not spilled blood, not wasted blood, but shed blood. That blood is what has done three things for us: cleansed us, cure us, and covers us. That blood is precious because it is not the polluted, death-carrying blood that was passed on from Adam in the beginning of time to all mankind who lives on planet Earth. We needed someone who could break the curse of that bad blood Adam passed on to us. And the only one who could was the one who didn't have bad blood in the beginning. And Jesus, listen, was born of a virgin named Mary. She was flesh and blood. But Jesus' earthly father did not participate in his conception. It was his holy heavenly father who, through the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary so that the blood that he would receive, and I think those of you who know anything about a child and the bloodline, it does not come from the mother, it comes from the father. So that's why when you say it is or you say it isn't, there is a blood test that tells you not what the mother's blood is, but who the Father's blood is. And here's what they know. If the blood don't match the Father's blood, it doesn't matter what the mother said. It's not the Father's child. If the blood of the Father doesn't run in the veins of the child, it's not the Father's child. Am I making sense in the house? And so Jesus's blood was his pure blood of his Father, not his earthly Father, but the Father blood, the blood that the Father gave to him on earth that would be pure and untainted and holy, that would run through his veins. Because of that, he was not born with one strike against him, born in sin. He did not carry on in life with that sinful blood that shaped him in iniquity, like David talked about in that 51st Psalm. His blood was pure. That was the blood that purchased our salvation, paid for our redemption, and made clear the debt was paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. None other could pay such an awesome price. And so when we take that bread and drink of that cup that represents his blood, what we are doing is making sure that we honor Jesus, who said, do this, this do in remembrance of me. What were you saying, Jesus? Don't forget about me. He knows we have the propensity to forget after a little while. Look at so many people who ought to be, again, in the house of the Lord, but they're doing other things because they're not remembering him. They're not honoring him. They're not bringing glory to him because they've forgotten what he's done on Calvary's hill for them. But I got news for you. They can't get in the glory without him. And if they forget him, they're forgetting the salvation that delivered them. Listen, one, remember me. Every time you take communion, the Lord's Supper, it says, I remember Jesus. It's personal. I remember Jesus. I don't care how many folk go around the table or many receive the cup and the bread and take it. It's personal. He's not holding you for others remembering him. He's holding you responsible for remembering him. And that's why you have got to consciously think every time, whether you do it every day, every week, every month, once a year, or whenever the occasion presents itself, when you participate, you have got to focus back on what Jesus has done. He gave himself so that you can have a right relationship with the Father. Second thing, when you do this in remembrance of him, this do, you are showing him something else. That every time, regardless, as I stated earlier, whenever that time is, you're not only remembering him, but when you do this, you are refreshing yourself in the memory of what he's done for you again. Every time you say, Father, forgive me, every time you ask God to do this or do that, all of the prayers, all of the petitions, all of the supplications must be done in Jesus' name. But how many of you know that because we still are in the presence of sin that we have to every day refresh ourselves in the blood of Jesus. That blood, again, that cleanses us, that blood that cures us, and that blood that covers us is so important to the vitality of our souls for us to be what God wants us to be on a daily basis. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody who makes it from Sunday to Sunday without sin? I know everybody ain't saying nothing, so everybody don't agree with me. Some of you make it from Sunday to Sunday, but I have a confession here. I tried to be right. I tried to do right. But there are times, even at my best, I mess up. I miss it. I slip. I fall. I don't make it. But I thank God that the blood steps in, and first it cleanses me. And listen, he cures my sin-sick soul, making me right and worthy to come before the Father and know that that same blood is covering me when the devil and his hellhounds are on my trail. I thank God for the precious blood of Jesus. And that's blood that gives me strength. Strength. Devil knocks me down, but I don't stay down. Is it because of my own strength? Is it because I sit there and get myself together, pull myself together, pull myself up by my bootstraps? No, I call on Jesus. And the power of that blood strengthens me. And that means I can't let an opportunity to honor him pass me by. I don't care what I'm going through. I've seen some things. No, I can't take communion because I ain't right. Well, you wasn't right when he saved you. Don't let the devil play with your mind. You ain't right now. The right that you experience is because you are covered by his blood. Don't forget what the Passover means. Every door in Israel that had the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, when God sent the death angel through, he passed over that house instead of going in and killing the firstborn because of the blood. And do you know, with you being covered with the blood of Jesus, the only reason why you ain't dead and done is because you're covered. Tell somebody, I'm covered. I know I should have been dead, sleeping in my... Oh, y'all don't act all holier than thou today. It's because of Jesus, not because of you. If it had not been for Jesus and all that he's done for you and me, we wouldn't be here today. But for the blood. And so he does for us as we remember him, to be refreshed in him. Every time we do this, you remember, if nobody else does, what he's done for you. When you shout and others don't shout, you say, you don't know what he's done for me. You weren't there when he signed my name on the roll. And if you decide to sit down, keep your mouth closed, fold your arms, and throw your nose in the air, you can do whatever you please. But when I think of his goodness to me, I know where I was. I know who I was. I know what I've done. And he looked beyond my faults. And admit every one of my that I can't keep the praise to myself. It amazes me when you look at so many of us and where the Lord has brought us from, and we act like we got here on our own. If he were to pull the covers back over your life and let folks see who you were, and some of us still are, we'd be too ashamed to show our faces in church. Some of us are in places of position and act again like we are righteous on our own. But it's for nothing but what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the third thing, and I'm closing. Not only when we do this should we remember him, and not only when we do this shall we refresh ourselves in him, but thirdly, here's what keeps us going. That when we do this, we rejoice in him. Can I tell you, we rejoice in him when we can't rejoice in ourselves. Do you know I didn't save me? You didn't save you. We didn't save ourselves. It was because he did it. And our rejoicing should always be in him, for him, to him, because of him. Rejoicing. If you can't rejoice that he has saved your soul, if you can't rejoice that he died in your place on Calvary, if you can't rejoice over the fact that he said this day, he wasn't just talking about one sinner, he was talking about all of us will be with him in paradise. You don't understand, Jesus prepared the way for you like none other could do. And rejoicing is personal. This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world, if you let anybody steal your joy, it's not the joy of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I say, if you let anybody steal your joy, and don't think the devil ain't trying. I could count five or six things already this morning the devil did trying to steal my joy. But when I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, that joy just bubbles back up. The children used to sing a song, there's a bubbling, there's a bubbling, there's a bubbling in my soul. And I'm singing it and I'm shouting it, because Jesus has made me whole. Some people don't understand. What don't they understand? What don't they understand? They don't understand this bubbling I have on the inside of me. It's a bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. It's a bubbling in my soul. And it only is present because of Jesus. Your rejoicing should be in Jesus. Nobody ought to have to prime you to rejoice in Jesus. When it's coming to this time that Jesus said, remember him, he was talking to you, not just the disciples. This was to be carried on throughout time. And so that meant for all of us to get on board and learn that he wants every believer to make our business of remembering him, if for no other reason than what he's done for us. I want to let you in on a helpful holy hint before I leave you. If you can't rejoice over what he's done, and you don't have an inkling of what he's doing, if you think what he's done and what he's doing is something, you ought to see what he's getting ready to do. If you can't shout about the past and you can't shout about the present, if you know Jesus and what he's up to, you ought to be able to shout about what's getting ready to happen in your future. Somebody give him praise in the house. Somebody give him glory in the house. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're getting ready to do. Heaven knows what is prepared for you, and what is prepared for you, the devil in hell can't take it away. Give the Lord praise in his house today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. This do, this bread, this cup, in remembrance of me.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Alexandria. Now let's go into a service already in progress.